been a tough season so far for Joel Moore and his Decatur Raiders, finding themselves on the short end of a 2-12 report card and still looking for their first win in league competition. Season started brightly enough with wins at Three Oaks River Valley, 53-30, and at home against Martin, 61-48 in the first three games. But after that, some tough times have been a-calling. And in fact, it has been now 11 straight losses for the Raiders. The last coming last night at Hartford by a score of 74-59. We don't have a box score from that particular game, but it was another tough night against a Hartford team that they had lost to at home 69-55, and that was the only setback in the first three, and then they were hoping that maybe the Hartford Indians could be the tonic, but have not done so. And just looking at some of their numbers, with their wins, they've gotten over 50 points. And in fact, they scored more than 50 points in the loss at home against Hartford. But since that 61-48 win at home against Martin back on the 17th of December, Decatur has scored only 50 points once. And that was in a 62-56 loss at Bangor last Tuesday night. Offense has been, and then of course last night they got 59 points. So yes, they've scored 50 a couple of times, but still offense has been somewhat missing at times for Joel Moore's team. Carter Smith is a guy we'll keep an eye on. The sophomore has scored the most points in any one game for the Raiders this season. He popped in 19 in a 73-45 loss at Warren. So he had 19 of the 45 points for the Raiders on that night. 13 points on that night for Cody Houston, the junior. That's his high water mark. And 10 points for Ben Boitnot. But that was at home against Warren. So those performances by Houston and Boitnot came at home. Joby Kowalski had 16 points in the game at Lawton. Jonathan Grosvenor, the other player, has been in double figures at any one time this season. He had 12 in the loss at Waterville 8. But Ben Boitnot and Carlos Rashid, Connor Olkowski, three seniors that do see playing time, but I see a lot of 11s and a couple of 10s on this Raider team. So youth has definitely been a factor. Excuse me, that may have been part of the problem for the Raiders this season as they're trying to right the ship with black and gold. When we come back, let's take a look at how Saugatuck is faring, and they're faring very well. Thank you very much. We'll take a look at the Indians next. As we're counting down to high school boys basketball, Saugatuck and Decatur on 92.7 The Van and 92.7TheVan.com. Saugatuck Indians are in a stretch of some of their tougher games of the season in terms of physically, and they've gotten out of it in pretty good shape with the win on Friday night against the Fenville Blackhawks, and then last night a very solid 81-38 win at Goebbels. We'll tell you about that momentarily, but Kevin Tringali has now made his way up to our broadcast location on the mezzanine, and we'll talk to Kevin about his girls' 41-37 victory over the Decatur Raiders. Coach, congratulations on a victory. Had to get it out in the fourth quarter, but I thought some good cribbage basketball at the end of the first half, 15-2, and a 13-point run along that line really turned the game in your favor, and you held control the rest of the way.
We did. We had to hang on for dear life. You know, like I said, that's a really good team we beat. And, you know, to bounce back after what happened last night is a tough night. I couldn't be more proud of the girls. The press gave them trouble. We did a great job of staying in our lanes and created a lot of turnovers. And like you said, that run in the second quarter really got us going. And then it was just strap it on and hold on for dear life down the stretch.
With my vantage point here at the mezzanine, I can be able to see the reaction of you and your counterpart with the Raiders, Rick Overly, and Rick had his hands to the back of the head. You with your arms were to the sky of some of the turnovers and some of the mistakes, and it's like, oh my, oh my, oh my.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to understand. You know, this late in the season, we all got to be accountable. I need to be more accountable, and the kids need to be accountable. And you know, we talk about time, score, possession all the time, and we had the lead, we have the ball, and we have time in our favor. We have to make better decisions. if we're going to have some success in the tournament. And it starts with Jocelyn and Carenza. And I think for the most part, I thought they did a good job against that 1-3-1. We knew was coming. But still, we got it. You know, we had quite a few turnovers tonight, and that's definitely got to improve.
If I was Rick Overlay, I would say 33 for Saugatuck was just too much for us tonight. Morgan Bush was very strong, especially on the board, especially inside. Decatur had no answer for her tonight.
Yeah, Morgan had 17 rebounds tonight. We needed every one of them. She's just, you know, the poor girl can't come out much. And, you know, she's really our cornerstone on the offense. She played that high triangle tonight with a lot of authority, demanded the ball, and attacked the basket. And that's one thing we're trying to get her to do is attack the basket more, and she had some success with that.
And Grace Peterson getting her back, even though she's not 100% still. She made a couple of nice plays, too.
You know, I said to Gracie before the game, I go, you know, let's just take little baby steps. And even baby step hurts with that toe of hers. But I said, if you can just give us a couple big minutes here and there, that might be all we need to get over the edge. And that's exactly what happened tonight. I couldn't be proud of her. I know she was in a lot of pain. But, you know, that's what a senior leader captain will do for you. And that's what Gracie did tonight.
A little bit of a gauntlet, 3 games in 5 nights. You gotten through it. Wins in Fenville and here, the loss at Goebbels. Now Bangor on Friday night, and at least get a little bit of a break and get the girls a little bit refreshed. But still, Vikings in their place, and then back here against North Muskegon, it's not going to get any easier.
No, it's not. But that's you know, that's what's the great thing about athletics. You get a chance to do it again. We get to regroup. I want to be battle-tested going into the tournament. We said from day one our goal is to win our district. This is the kind of teams we need to play to get us prepared for that gauntlet of a week that's going to be right here before we know it.
Knocking off one of the leaders in the SAC North, SAC South is a pretty good, no pun intended, skin for the Indians tonight. That's good scalp as the Indians defeat the Decatur Raiders and girls play tonight, 41-37. Kevin Twingali, thank you very much as always, and look forward to seeing your team Monday night against North Muskegon.
All right, Gary, thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Kevin Twingali, head coach of the Saugatuck Indians, as the girls won 41-37. Let's talk about the boys. As the Indians under Tom Kazin, 12-2 on the season. The loss here against the Waterville Panthers last Tuesday. Just ancient memories now after impressive victories at Fenville and at Goebbels. The Fenville game pretty much puts the destiny of the Indians in the SAC North in their own hands. They're up by two with one game remaining in the SAC North season. With 3 games remaining in the SAC North season, and they're up by 2 games on Fenville and Bangor at 5-2. And the Indians have been doing it with their big guns. Mike Winowicki, 22 points last night. He had 33 points a week ago. He would have traded those points for victory at the fourth quarter meltdown, and that is a lesson that the Indians are learned from that loss against the Panthers. Wes Webert needing to step up his game, and as you heard from Tom Kazin during the halftime of the girls' game, Wes Webert has committed to playing basketball as a Davenport Panther, so he won't be too terribly far away, casting his lot in Caledonia. And Mike Winowicki, of course, with Indiana Wesleyan, heading for his next destination next year. So the two seniors pretty much locked in into their future plans, so they can concentrate on finishing up their high school careers on a winning note. Joe Koshelski is coming off a 9-point performance last night against the Goebbels Tigers, and that equals a season high, and the Indians would like to not only get some solid play inside from their 6'4 senior, but also be able to get some offense as well, take some of the load off of Webert and Winowicki. And Alex Scovey had a good game, 8 points last night against Goebbels. Likes playing against the Tigers. He had a season high 10 against the Tigers earlier this season. The other Alex Anschut, 7 points last night against the Tigers. So the Indians, hoping to be able to continue their winning ways, go up against a Decatur Raider team that is just trying to find a winning way. When we come back, we'll take a look at the lineups and get this one going. You're listening to Saugatuck High Basketball on 92.7 The Van and 92.7thevan.com. This broadcast is made possible by authority granted by Saugatuck Public Schools and is intended for the private non-commercial use of audience. Any rebroadcast, retransmission, or the distribution of the descriptions and the accounts of this game without the express written consent of Saugatuck Public Schools and Midwest Communications is not permitted. This announcer has been selected as an employee by Midwest Communications. Of course, we do the disclaimer, but we also do want to tell you that our broadcast of Saugatuck and Hope College basketball, not only on 92.7 The Van, but also airing on our website, live streaming at 92.7thevan.com. And we'll put podcasts of all of our broadcasts, our high school and Hope College broadcasts, on our website at 92.7thevan.com. And podcasts of both of these games will be on the website overnight. So you'll be able to, if you miss any of the action, or if you know somebody that from far away that can't listen to the game live, be able to follow the action and download it and play it at your convenience. And it's free of charge. We don't charge you for that. Let's take a look at the starting lineups. First of all, for the Decatur Raiders, Joby Kowalski, the junior, will get one of the starting spots. Junior Jonathan Grosvenor will be another starter. Connor Olkowski, the senior, is also a scheduled starter. Carter Smith, a sophomore, is also there. And I'm trying to get the last number, and it's Noah Rufo, I think. That's weird. Okay. Noah Rufo, the sophomore. So Joel Moore juggling his lineup a little bit, getting some, get some of his other players to get starts here. Maybe just trying to find a right combination. So I got Kowalski, Smith, Grosvenor, Rufo, and Olkowski. Those are the five. Rufo is
Holland of the Lakeshores, 92-7. The
Olkowski has had only a five-point game to his credit. Grosvenor has scored 12 in a game. We've gotten that. Smith, the leading scorer, 19. That's no surprise. And Kowalski, the second leading scorer. Saugatuck, not much change in their usual five with Blake Dunn, the 5'9 freshman, and Mike Winowicki, the 6'3 senior in the backcourt. Tristan Ferrara, the 6'1 senior, and Wes Weber, the 6'6 senior in the forwards, and Joe Kuzelski, the 6'4 senior at center. Those are the five for the white-clad Saugatuck Indians with royal blue numerals outlined in orange, royal blue and orange trim. They'll be moving from left to right in the first half. Decatur Raiders in their road, black uniforms with gold numerals outlined in white and gold and white trim, moving right to left. So it's an interesting starting five. And Joby Kowalski, nope, it'll be, Kowalski's going to jump against Weber, that's like a 6-7 inch advantage. Instead, it'll be Olkowski jumping against Weber. The 6'6 senior does get the tip for Saugatuck, and we're underway. Winowicki, left side, into the left corner, pulls it back for Kuzelski. 2-3 zone being employed by Decatur. Dunn. Weber chain the rings, back to Dunn. Blake tries to fire pass, deflected, and turnover into the hands of Noah Rufo for Decatur. So first possession is a cough-up for Saugatuck, and over the timeline is Joby Kowalski for the Raiders. Kowalski bounces in the midcourt for Rufo. Noah, Indians in the man-to-man, and they're extending it out. Right side for Carter Smith. Smith continues on the right side dribble for Rufo. Ball deflected by Dunn as it went, tried to get it back to Carter Smith out of bounds and ran into Tom Kazin's lap. Tom's not a player anymore, so it's Decatur basketball. 7-11 to go, first quarter. Looking for our first point. Decatur's first possession. Kowalski at midcourt. Pass deflected into the hands of Wes Weber. Turnover, Saugatuck gets it. For Dunn, drives right baseline off glass and in! And he draws contact and a foul. Blake Dunn opens the account for Saugatuck. Carter Smith will be charged with the foul. And so Blake Dunn will be foul line right, the freshman point guard. Old school three-point play. 3-0 Saugatuck. Pressure in the backcourt, broken on the dribble by Kowalski, but it spills it right into the hands of Weber, who flushes it down after the steal. West with his first two, steal and a slam. Indians with 5 points off of two turnovers for Decatur, and the Indians lead 5-0. In the front court, pressure for Kowalski. Noah Rufo. Smith tries to get the entry pass to Grosner, and as Jonathan got it, he got pushed by Wes Weber. First foul for the Indians tonight. So the Raiders down 5-0 already. Inbound goes to Kowalski, trying to work on Weber. That's a mismatch. Kowalski, I think, is 5'10". Weber is 6'6". Don't have heights for the Decatur Raiders, so we have to play guess them a little bit. I think their tallest man is their coach, Joel Moore. We've had some tall coaches coming in here the last couple of games. Here's Carter Smith. Back to midcourt. Right now, Decatur is not showing any semblance of an inside game. And as Rufo drives right side, we're going to get another foul on Wes Weber. So he pushes off. Wes is going to have to get an early bench. Two fouls in the first 2 minutes and 11 seconds. Not the start that Weber would like to have. Foul line jumper by Olkowski. No good. Rebound Weber, and he got fouled from behind as he got the carom.
Our new BAM app is ready for your Android or iPhone. Download it now in the Google Play or Apple Store.
We'll have to sit with two early fouls. In comes Alex Segovia, the 5'8 junior. The Indians playing a little smaller now that Weber, the tallest player, has to sit with two early fouls. Dunn brings it over the timeline for the try. Dunn, left-handed dribble, flips it to Segovia. Alex drives into the lane, kicks it right side for Ferrara. Triple from the right side. Got it from the right side! And then Koshelski shoved off on Olkowski as the ball was going through the twine. 8-0 Saugatuck with the lead. The foul on Koshelski is his first, and the Indians now with three. Pressure in the backcourt. Rufo gets it over to Smith, and as he was met at midcourt by Ferrara, Tristan fouled him. His first, and Indians already with four fouls, and we've played so far just 2 minutes and 44 seconds of the first quarter. Indians still with an 8-0 lead. Carter Smith trying to get around Segovia. He can basically look eye to eye. Left side for Olkowski, and he walked as he tried to drive into the lane on the left side. Not happy about that, says Connor. And we're going to get a timeout called by Tom Kaysen. A Michigan Tile timeout with 4:59 to go in the first quarter, and the Indians call their first timeout, leading it 8-0. I want to remind you that educational high athletics start in a healthy environment. As much attention needs to be given to the four H's, head, heart, history, and, as I take a swig of water here, hydration, as the X's and O's. Visit the MHSA website and click on education for a variety of resources to make you better aware of school sports health issues, including links to free online courses on hydration and concussions. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association promoting the value and values of educational athletics and the Holland stations of Midwest Communications. Lindsay Saunders, our producer. My name is Gary Stevens. 4:53 to go, first half. First quarter, Saugatuck leads 8-0, and they have the basketball against the visiting Decatur Raiders. Here is Koshelski. Drives to the lane. Doesn't get it to go down on the layup, but he gets fouled by Jonathan Grosner. Second, first foul for John in the third against the Raiders, and so foul line right will be Koshelski. A couple of weeks ago when we had Bloomingdale in here. First one goes for Koshelski. He'll have another crack at it. Joe eyes the rim. Knocks them both down. First two for Joey. Indians with a 10-0 lead. two quarters in that song, in that 73-8 game against Bloomingdale 10 days ago. Two of the quarters, two of the quarters, Saugatuck first and the third, they shut out their opponents. Here is Kowalski. Well, it won't be this time. He takes a jumper and gets it in the lane. Joby gets his first two. Indians score the first 10. And now lead by 8 at 10-2. Front court, Winnowicki. Gets to his defender with a nice dribble. Triples from the top of the circle. Gets it from the top of the circle. That's called faking your opponent to create an opening. Creating your shot. And when you want to play in the next level, you got to be able to create your shots. And Winnowicki did it there. To great skill. Here's a drive by Grosvenor. His shot is deflected, blocked by Ferrara. Outlets out, and the missed bunny by Winnowicki on the outlet pass from Koszelski. He just gave him a bullet pass, and Winnowicki misses the layup. You don't see Mike do that too often. Front court, Carter Smith from Decatur. Down 11 at 13-2. 3:30 to go, first quarter. Ball in midcourt is... the Raiders trying to find some way inside that defense for Saugatuck man-to-man. Basically, they're playing the basketball between the rings. Rufo, right side in for Grosvenor, off of the glass. No, he's got offensive put back and in. Grosvenor is first two. It's 13-4. Front court done. Ferrara, his pass deflected into the hands of the Raiders, and that is Carter Smith with the basketball. Matthew Boddy in the game right now. He is a junior. Working on Segovia. Alex knocks it out of bounds. Indians will bring in some reinforcements. 5'10 senior Austin Phillips, along with 6'2 senior Joe Shishagwe, and 5'9 sophomore Alex Anschutz join Segovia and Winnowicki on the floor for the try. 2:41 to go in the first quarter. Saugatuck by 9 at 13-4, and the Decatur Raiders with the basketball. Here's a drive. One-hander in the lane is good by Kowalski. 4 for Joby. 13-6. First 2 points off of turnovers for Decatur tonight. They lead by, they're down by 7, though. Here's Winnowicki in the lane. Finger rolls, lays it up, lays it in. 5 for Michael. 15-6, Indians again by 9. They'll see a trapping half-court situation. Broken with a baseball pass to Rufo. Drives right baseline, puts up a one-hand runner, and no. Deflected rebound, loose on the floor. Securely in the hands of Matthew Boddy. And then as he tries to pass in the right corner for Carter Smith, knocked out of bounds by Anschutz for Saugatuck. It'll be still Decatur basketball. Connor Olkowski returns for the Raiders. And Rufo will get his first break. So it's Olkowski and Grosvenor. Smith, Kowalski, and Boddy on the floor for Decatur. Deep inbounds goes to Kowalski. In the lane. Oh, running one-handed by Carter Smith is good. Carter's first two. 15-8. Saugatuck leads by 7. Here's Winnowicki, right side. To Alex Segovia. Drives the lane. Scoops and scores. First two for Alex. Leads again 9 at 17-8. Minute 23 to go, first quarter. Pass to the front court. Goes from the Tom Kaysen's hands again. This time was the Raiders. Kowalski threw it to him. Turnover number 3. Indians with 5 points off of 2 previous turnovers by the Raiders. And shoots over the timeline for the Indians. Segovia drives left side. Takes it to the hole. No, a little short. Rebound scooped away. Grosvenor for Decatur. Back into the front court, Kowalski. Trying to work on Segovia. Dribbles back out because Alex had him play his path up, blocked to the basket. Carter Smith on the right side. 50 seconds to go, first quarter. Indians lead by 9, 17-8. Decatur with the basketball. Kowalski at midcourt. Trying to work on a screen with Boddy. Hand flips it to Matthew. Winnowicki on him. Still working between the rings. Body.
Rocking the Lakeshore. 92-7 the
turn,
band.
Left side jumper, no. Rebound deflected and hands to Zagobi. Outlets out to Winnowicki. 23 seconds to go in the quarter. Winnowicki loses his balance, but then flips it over to Zagobi, and Alex travels with the basketball instead of Winnowicki. Third turnover against Saugerty. Noah Rufo returns. Rufo returns to replace Kowalski. So let's see if the Raiders can get into double figures here and slowly work on chiseling that Saugatuck lead. 1-3-1 zone being employed by Saugatuck now. That's an interesting one. No, it's still man-to-man, but it's a trapping man-to-man. Here's a drive. Block shot by Segovia, by Anschutz. And then a lob at midcourt is no good by Winnowicki. First quarter is over. All Saugatuck. They lead by 9. Indians 17. Decatur 8. You're listening to Saugatuck High Basketball on 92.7 The Van and 92.7TheVan.com. We begin the second quarter with Decatur with the possession of the basketball and down 9, 17-8. Nora Rufo will inbound the ball to Joby Kowalski. Matthew Boddy, along with Connor Olkowski and Matthew Saylor on the floor for Decatur. Saylor is a junior, making his first appearance in the game. They'll be facing a Saugatuck defense of Joshua Shagway, and, well, there is a steal by Segovia, and shoots an out to lay it up and in. Oh, it's his first two. And the Indians still up their lead to 19-8. They lead now by 11. And we have a foul at midcourt. And shoots a little bit antsy, trying to get to the ball. And for Alex Segovia with the foul, that's his first, fifth on the Indians. As we were saying before we were so rudely interrupted, Alex Segovia and Alex Anschutz, along with Joseph Shagway, Austin Phillips, and Mike Winnowicki, the five on the floor for the Indians. Deflected pass, Anschutz steals to Winnowicki in midcourt, drives around a defender, lays it up, no, rebound put back up, blocked by Shagway. Third of the draw, shot by Shagway is blocked, ball in midcourt. And it's recovered in the backcourt by Anschutz. Alex needs some help, finds in the form of Winnowicki. Second turnover in the quarter and third, fifth in the game for Decatur. Indians have already scored 7 points off turnovers. Here's Winnowicki, triple from the left side, no. Rebound deflected off of the hands of Saylor out of bounds. Stays with Saugatuck. So the Indians trying to capitalize on another turnover. Winnowicki will inbound. Flip it over now for Segovia. Winnowicki right side. Through two defenders, back to Segovia. Top of the circle, Trey. Back of the rim, no. Long rebound. Grabbed off by Anschutz offensively for Saugatuck. 6:40 to go, first half. Inside for Shagway. One-handed shot. Good. Good scoop by Stoey and gets the basket. First two. 21-8. Indians by 13. Into the front court under some pressure. Kowalski gets it in. Bobo now for Rufo. Noah pulls it back between the circles. Back to Kowalski. Joby. To Rufo at midcourt. Now he'll be going through a two-team, and we have a kickball violation against Decatur this time. Substitutions for the Raiders. Connor Olkowski returns. So too does Carter Smith. We say hello to Jake Kernick, the 5'10 senior, making his first appearance of the night for Saugatuck. He'll give Winnowicki his first break. Segovia and Anschutz, Phillips, Shashagway, who has the ball in the lane, pulls it back to Segovia. And Kernick, drive by Segovia, takes it to the rack, scores, fouled. Alex with 4 points. And a hacking foul is called. Matthew Boddy with the foul. First on Matt, and the fourth on the Raiders. Foul line right will be Segovia. He'll convert the old school 3-point play. 24-8, Indians by 16. And we're going to get a timeout on the floor. A Michigan Tile timeout. With 5:55 to go, it's called by Decatur's Joel Moore. Michigan Tile. Winter sale, stop in at Michigan Tile.
Long live rock. 92.7 The Van.
The Flying Dutchman are in Olivet. You'll hear the game with Ron Weatherby and Adam Prince beginning at 7:40. 92.7 The Van and 92.7TheVan.com. At the half, we'll run through the numbers for you of this particular game. Recap the girls' game as the Indians won that one over Decatur, 41-37. And we'll have the MHSA perspective. JJ's topic tonight, how does this happen? That's his topic. How does this happen? That's at the half. So the Indians will give full court pressure to the Raiders. Inbound goes to Carter Smith. And as he dribbles, the Indians peel back. So Smith has to deal with Anschutz. He brings it over the timeline. Left side, Matthew Boddy. He'll just take his time and set up the play. Nobody. Koenig is back defensively. Still wide. No count on the five yet. Kowalski drives into the lane and splits the defense and scores. Joby with six. 24-10. That stops a 9-point run. And shoots. Back to the top of the circle for Blake Dunn. To Tristan Ferrara. Phillips and to go in. Koenig, the other two. Jumper by Dunn. Triple on the right side. No good. Rebound offensive for Ferrara. And shoots. Left side, Koenig. Jake. To the low high post. Left by Ferrara. He'll take it to the rim and miss it, but he draws contact and a foul. It'll be on Connor Olkowski. First for Connor. Foul line right. Ferrara, and he breaks the first of the two free throws. Indians were 4-for-4 before that miss. Grosvenor returns for Decatur to replace Noah Rufo. One more coming for Tristan. Concentrating on basketball. Didn't play football the last couple of years. Eyes the rim. Drop it. First for 4 points, I should say, for Tristan now. 25-10. Indians about 5-15. Front court. Very busy Joby Kowalski, and he got fouled by Blake Dunn as he was trying to drive. For Blake, his first 6 fouls. A bonus light will go up as soon as Decatur inbounds the basketball. We say hello to Jake from Muehlman, the 6'1 junior. He and Mike Winowicki return to join Dunn. Koenig and Ferrara on the floor for the try. Over the timeline is Joby Kowalski. Both teams played last night. And we get a walk as Olkowski tried to do something high post right side and strolled with it. 7 turnovers for Decatur. Indians have already punished them. 12 points off of those 7 turnovers already. And they can get some more here. Ferrara right side. Right corner, done. He'll drive right baseline, draws contact, foul. Bonus light is not on, though. The foul is on Boddy, Matthew's second. And it'll be the second, and the bonus light will go on as soon as the ball is inbounded. Noah Rufo returns to replace Boddy. I call him Boddy, I apologize. B-O-T-T-I, it's very easy to say Boddy, but I believe they have said the on the scores table, it's pointing. Oh, pass for Winowicki, left corner, over his head out of bounds. That's only the 4th turnover for Saugatuck tonight. 2 points for Decatur off of him.
The Lakeshore is 92-7.
Been all Saugatuck, 25-10. No surprise, Indians at 12-2. Raiders at 2-12, and they've lost 11 straight. Inbound goes to Olkowski. Flips it back to Noah Rufo, and Rufo will walk over the timeline uncontested. Indians calling off the dogs a little bit, but they'll put the pressure at midcourt. Here's Smith. Left side pass off of the rim, no good. Grosvenor. Rebound grabbed off Winowicki. He's got a 3-on-1 if he takes advantage of it, but he'll take it all the way to the rim and score. Winowicki says, I'll take care of things. He has 27-10, Indians by 17. Carter Smith has Winowicki on him. Over the timeline does Smith. Dribble the basketball. Noah Rufo. Back to Smith. Inside the arc. Jumper rings off. Rebound deflected in the hands of Dunn. He wants to run. Winawicki, two on one with Koenig. Lays it up, misses it, but he draws contact and a foul on Rufo. First foul on Noah. That's a two-shot foul coming up for Winawicki, and Michael is going to the line for the first time tonight. Indians at Bangor before they host the Lawton next Tuesday night. Game we'll have for you here on 92.7 The Van and 92.7TheVan.com. First of two for Winawicki goes. Michael with eight. One more coming for the senior. 6 feet, 3 inches tall. Fourth-year varsity performer. You know, I'll pretty much say fourth-year starter. Second one goes for Michael. Drop them both. 29-10, Saugatuck with a comfortable lead. Whistle blows, 3:28 to go. Scorer's table. He was talking things over with the official. Now, one of the officials talking with Coach Joel Moore across the way. They straighten everything out, so Decatur will inbound in the backcourt. Blake Dunn putting some pressure, but it goes to Kowalski, and Joby will walk, will dribble it over the timeline with Dunn shadowing him. Kowalski pulls it back. Dunn still on him, though. Kowalski with a dribble left side, and he walked with it as the ball went around his back. He says, what did I do? Well, plain and simple, you just walked with a basketball. Dunn's defense got him on that one. Eight turnovers now for Decatur. 3:10 to go in the first half. Saugatuck enjoying a 29-10 lead. Mike Winawicki with nine. Almost outscoring Decatur by himself. Here is Ferrara. Triple top of the circle. No rebound. Offensive Dunn. Puts it back up and in. Blake's got five. 31-10. Indians with another couple points off a turnover on that one. Smith over the timeline for the Raiders. To Kowalski. Joby with the dribble. Dunn still on him. Indians man-to-man. Kowalski, right side for Smith. Top of the circle, Rufo pulls it back to Kowalski. Joby dribbles to the left side, takes a short jumper, no rebound. Open for Okowski. He got the gift and put it in. Counter with his first two. 31-12, Indians comfortably by 19. Ferrara at the lane. Vermeulen. Jake pulls it back out for Winawicki. Mike gets a pick from Ferrara. Then sets up a triple left side. No good. Rebound snatched away by Rufo. Noah gets around Winawicki. Bounces it to a wide open Grosvenor. Lays it up and in. Good break run that time by Decatur. Maybe their best play of the night. First two for Jonathan. 4 points now for Jonathan. The end, it's a 17-point lead, a 31-14. Blake Dunn to Winawicki. Indians ready to send four reinforcements in. Left-handed triple try by Vermeulen. No good. Rebound snatched away by Grubsner for Decatur. Raiders trying to take care of a little bit of a run right now. Rufo at the midcourt circle. Noah. Had his pass stolen away by Dunn, who drives and scores. Blake Brown with seven. Indians by 19. One-handed lane by Grosvenor is no good. Rebound deflected in the hands of Winawicki at midcourt. Minute to go. First half, Indians by 19, 33-14. Make it 21. As it'll drive in a one-hander and a score by Winawicki and a foul by Kowalski. Michael with 11 now. So now the reinforcements come in. Winawicki and Vermeulen stay. The Alexes, Anschutz and Segovia, along with Joey Koszulski, come in. Winawicki makes the three-point play, and he'll be replaced by Bailey O'Brien, the 5'9 senior. Empty bench first half for Saugatuck. They lead now by 22, 36-14, with 55 seconds to go on the first half. Modi with the timeline. He's in the lineup for the Raiders again. Matthew trying to work on O'Brien. Whoops, the right side for Noah Rufa. Pass goes inside to nobody except Joe Koscielski for Saugatuck. Turnover. And for Vermeulen. Drives. Score! Stake with his first two. 38-14. Indians by 24. 25 seconds to go, first half. Rufo inside for Saylor. Nice pass to Grosvenor, who banks it up and in. Jonathan with six. 38-16. Koscielski back the other way. Off blocking foul as he runs over Grosvenor. But Jonathan did not have the defense. But he did not have the feet in possession. Jonathan picks up his second. So Koscielski, who was 2 for 2 from the stripe, goes back to the line with 10 seconds to go in the half. He's got three. Smile on his face for Joey. Saying, not certain whether or not you're sharing a joke with Vermeulen or not. No, he's all seriousness and has no problem dropping the second. 40-16, Indians lead by 24. Woody over the timeline, under double-team pressure. And we're going to get a foul, I believe, on Saugatuck. It'll be on O'Brien. Bailey a little bit too tight on that defense. So he picks up his first, and so the bonus light is on. We'll get some free throws coming up for Matthew Boney. Matthew has not scored in a game this season. We don't have him marked down at the points yet. So we'll see if he can get on the score sheet now. Nope. Rebound loose. Offensive. Grosvenor can't put it back up and in. Quarter over. Well, Saugatuck has been cruise control throughout. And they lead after two quarters of play. Indians 40, Decatur 16. You're listening to Saugatuck High Basketball on 92.7 The Fan and 92.7thefan.com. Halftime at Saugatuck High School. And from the mezzanine, I'm Gary Stevens. Lindsey Saunders, our producer. And at the half, it's Saugatuck leading the Decatur Raiders 40-16. They scored the first 10 points of the game, did the Indians, and never really let Decatur get a sniff of the game after that so far. Outscoring by margins of 17-8 in the first quarter and 23-8 in the second quarter. Difference in this game, besides the talent level, Decatur has coughed it up in terms of turnovers, 10 of them, and Saugatuck has made them pay and pay and pay with 18 points off of those 10 turnovers. Well, the Indians have had four turnovers, and that's led to only two Decatur points. Raiders had 6 points each from Joby Kowalski and Jonathan Grosvenor, and 2 points from Carter Smith and Connor Olkowski. They have had those 10 turnovers, as we said, and 0-for-1 from the free throw line. Saugatuck led tonight by Mike Winnowicki with 12 points, 7 points for Blake Dunn, 5 points for Alex Sebelius.
92-7, the Fan.
Couple points each for Wes Weber, Joe Shishagway, and Jake Vermeulen. Weber with 2 fouls in the first 2-plus minutes. Did not play after getting those 2 early fouls and may not see much playing. Well, he might see some playing time in the second half, but 3 games in 5 nights, and right now it's been the Indians, so far a fresher team than the Decatur Raiders. Both are in the same boat. Again, 3 games in 5 nights, and the Indians try to up their mark to 13-2 on the season, while the Raiders are trying to prevent a 12th straight loss. They're 2-12 overall. In the girls' game, it was all Saugatuck. Well, I had really actually a 15-2 run. Then the first half for Saugatuck turned around a game in their favor, and they held off the Raiders in the fourth quarter to win 41-37. Led by 13 points from Morgan Bush and 10 points from Kaylee Gurris. That offset a 10-point performance, 8 in the fourth quarter in the valley, by Brianna Serdell of the Raiders. So at the half, in the boys' game, it's Saugatuck 40 and Decatur 16. And a regular feature of high school basketball broadcasts on 92.7 The Fan and 92.7thefan.com is a look at the world of high school athletics through the eyes of the communications director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, John Johnson. His topic tonight, how does this happen? It's time for JJ's MHSAA Perspective.
How does this happen? I'm John Johnson, and I'll tell you how it happens next on MHSAA Perspective, presented by the Michigan Army National Guard.
I'll never forget
that moment.
As long as I live.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going up to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Michigan National Guard, aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The reporter on the other end of the phone line was calling because he had heard through the grapevine that one of his local schools was going to forfeit a number of games because of the use of an ineligible player. After we had discussed the situation for several minutes, he asked, "How does this happen?" It's a legitimate question. How does a school allow an otherwise ineligible young person to participate? But it's also a complicated question with the way that schools operate these days and the mobility that kids and families display in moving from school A to school B. Some kids simply show up at the new school and present themselves to the coach, and suddenly the kid is in the game. It's not necessarily the responsibility of the coach to know the eligibility status of a new player, but the coach should be in communication with the athletic administration any time a new player shows up. But this is hard, especially beginning at the school year, when practices begin before kids are in the classroom, and some administrators aren't even on duty yet. A kid may be transferring back and forth between a couple of schools, and upon returning to a school, gets treated as if he or she had never left to begin with. A kid starts to go through the right channels at the new school, but the paperwork from the old school is slow to catch up, and the new school assumes, incorrectly, that everything is going to be okay, only to suddenly find out that they have an ineligible on their hand and games to forfeit. And it's not even a stretch anymore for parents to intentionally deceive the administration of the new school, creating all the trappings of a move into that district to gain eligibility for the youngster, and it's not a stretch for the coach at that new school to be helping the parents. Lots of moving parts, to be sure, and we've always said the best ways for a school to create a hedge against this is, when in doubt, sit them out. It also means having dedicated, and we mean by that, full-time athletic department staff, who can set policies and procedures for transferring students. Even if the budget says the AD can be combined with the AP and bus operations and cafeteria and on, it's a recipe for problems
up
when it comes to the eligibility
shore
of young
it's
people and the reputation of that school district. The MHSAA does its part every year to conduct athletic director in-service programs across the state with special sessions for first-time administrators to prepare them for what they will encounter along the way. And one of the tools provided in those meetings is a checkoff list with questions to be answered by the new student and the school that must be completed successfully before the youngster is even allowed to practice. It's one of those situations where you do all you can do and still know that every once in a while, one of these ineligibles is going to pop up. Schools, when they voluntarily join the MHSAA each year by school board resolution, adopt the rules in the MHSAA handbook as their own, and they agree to become the first line of enforcement. Most of the time, it works quite well. Not a week passes by in this office where we don't hear from a school self-reporting the use of an ineligible player and letting us know that they've already contacted their opponents about the forfeits. It's a great example which shows that the MHSAA is its member schools, not two dozen people in an office in East Lansing. Join us again next time for another edition of MHSAA Perspective, presented by the Michigan Army National Guard, a production of the MHSAA Network.
Back at Saugatuck High School, with the Saugatuck Indians leading the Decatur Raiders 40-16. We'll have a couple of Saugatuck High games for you next week. Monday night, the girls will host North Muskegon. Next Tuesday night, the Indian boys will be entertaining the Lawton Blue Devils. Hear both those games right here on 92.7 The Van and 92.7TheVan.com. We'll be on the air at 6:40 both evenings as the Saugatuck girls host North Muskegon on Monday and the Saugatuck boys host Lawton on Tuesday. High school basketball, 6:40 next Monday and Tuesday night here on 92.7 The Van and 92.7TheVan.com. The third quarter is next. Saugatuck 40, Decatur 16. Boys basketball on 92.7 The Van and 92.7TheVan.com. begin the third quarter with Saugatuck bringing their starting five into the lineup, which is Blake Dunn and Wes Robert, Mike Winowicki, Tristan Ferrara, and Joe Kaszelski. The starting five for the Decatur Raiders will also come out, Joby Kowalski and Cody Houston. Jonathan Grubsner, along with Connor Olkowski and Noah Rufo. So the Indians in white moving from right to left. Decatur moving left to right. Indians get the basketball to begin the third quarter. And up by 24, 40-16. Ball went off of the foot of Carter Smith into the third row. Don't have the mezzanine up tonight. I'm the only one working here. Got a videographer for the Saugatuck coaching staff. But other than that, it's quiet on the mezzanine tonight. Right on the floor as well, thanks to Saugatuck's dominance. And Joe Kaszelski with a couple of spin moves to get the basket. His first field goal, 6 points. 42-16, Indians comfortably in front. Not as bad as when Bloomingdale got in and the Indians overwhelmed them 72-8. But it's been pretty much a relaxing game. And another turnover by Decatur. Ball over the head of Kowalski in the right corner, out of bounds. 11th turnover against the Raiders. Leading the way for Saugatuck tonight, 12 points for Mike Winowicki, 7 for Blake Dunn, 6 for Joe Kaszelski. Weber fires a pass to Kaszelski. Weber again drives, tries to finger roll. He walked before he drove. Fifth turnover against Saugatuck. Only 2 points Decatur scored off in TOs. Joby Kowalski, this junior. Over the timeline, he can look Blake Dunn almost in the eye. Blake is listed as 5'9". Noah Rufo to Kowalski. Left side for Carter Smith. He'll hoist the three. No. Rebound. Kaszelski saves it for Ferrara. Tristan over the timeline. Tristan with good dribbling skills to Dunn. Dunn tries to drive through two defenders.
92.7 The Fan rocks the Lake Shore with Hope College and Saugatuck High School basketball. And the first music.
Dunn, winner, the third putback effort.